Welcome to Keeping It Real with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast in the home of the Italian-American moment. I'm Frankie D, your very proud host, and we are at ItalianAmericanLife.com, on iTunes, Stitcher, your podcast app. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram, connect with us on LinkedIn, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. My guest today is Eric Lucera, one of the authors of a new book, the other authors being Gennaro Lucera and Giuseppe Osvaldo Lucera. And the title of the book is Birth of New Bicari in Philadelphia, a study in big data genealogy. The book is also in Italian as well, and that is Nascita della Nuova Bicari a Philadelphia, uno studio sulla genealogia bicarese americana. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to meet you in person. I've enjoyed all of your podcasts over the years, and it's an honor to be here.
Wow. Well, thank you for saying. Thank you very much. And great book. I enjoyed it. Really a tremendous research in you know, the immigration and the stories. The stories were great. And we're talking about Bicari and the province of Foggia in Puglia and the connection to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Philadelphia has to be the greatest city in the United States. That's the easiest to say in Italian because it's the same thing. Right. I always thought that. Like, what a perfect city, Philadelphia. And that's what they say. So tell us how this all got started.
It started probably 15 or 20 years ago after my kids were born. I started, like any parent, doing some of the family history stuff. I had worked with a couple of professional genealogists, and through them, I reached out to all of the Luceras in Bicari, and I got a response from Gennaro Lucera, who had sent me a family tree going back to the early 1800s, basically corresponding with all the Napoleonic data. And since I was an early adopter of Facebook through one of the schools I went to, I was on there a lot, and I met Giuseppe Osvaldo, saw him online, and thought, geez, he looks a lot like my grandfather. We must be related somehow. And made my first trip to the motherland in 2008 or 9, and I met them. And what I discovered was Giuseppe and Gennaro, and before him, Luigi Lucera, they were the town historians of our village going back, you know, almost 100 years. And Giuseppe had written at that point, maybe only a dozen books about the village and the brigands. He's now up to over 20. And when he found out that I was interested in family history, as he was writing books on Bicari and the connections to America, he would ask me, what happened to this person? What happened to that person? And I would go on to ancestry.com and say, hey, I found this person and they came here in this year and they lived here and then they died this date and they had this number of kids. And he would have other members of the village through him reach out to me and say, hey, so-and-so is looking for this. Do you know where their family is? And then maybe about 10 years ago, he gave me a flash drive that had the church records from the village back to 1550. So we had the Napoleonic records and the church records. So I sent that out to all the people that were contacting me on ancestry.com. And I would say by maybe 4 years ago, after I was given a big list of names by Giuseppe from one of his books about a monument, I went back to him and I said, hey, Giuseppe, I'm fairly certain we've tracked every single immigrant from Bicari to America. And, you know, because I had a career in finance and have, you know, an interest in data and data analysis, I started cataloging all of this stuff from ancestry.com into a couple of other software packages, and then compared the data to the stories that he had. And he had written a series of books called Bicari from, I think, 1870 to 1931, where he was detailing some of the horrific stories that were happening in the village with respect to people being falsely accused of murder or whatever. And when you look at the data, you could line up the spikes in immigration, and particularly above trend spikes. We all know that immigration from Italy in the whole to America was increasing at certain rates, but you would see above trend rates of exits from the village. And you could reasonably say, well, correlation isn't causation, but we have some stories where people were angry. You could see those names on the ship manifests. So we were able to then say, hey, we think we know that these murders that were falsely accusing people like my great grandfather's brother were leading to people leaving the village. And then based on that, I sort of put together an outline, sent it to Giuseppe and sent it to a fellow named Richard Giuliani, who's written a number of books about Philadelphia. They thought it was a good story to pursue. And with that, and having a little bit of extra time in the day due to the COVID work from home, you know, Giuseppe and I started putting the book together. So that's really kind of how it got started.
But initially, when you just started out, it was just for finding the family roots kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. I had no idea that it would end up like this.
And then when you were thinking about a book like, okay, so the largest destination of Picarese in America was the South Philadelphia, correct?
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
So now to this day, the descendants, because we're probably talking the majority, like maybe, you know, two generations later, possibly three, is there still like a connection? Do people still get together? Is there a club, anything like that?
There's, I'd say the connections are sort of getting together again. I think that the mayor of Bickery has done a great job. The people from the village are very loyal to each other. And there's an active community online on Facebook. And I think through some of the efforts that we've had here, we're starting to get people in touch with second and third cousins. You know, there's a lot of them in South Philly. The other group was up in Tacony and in Holmesburg. But, you know, Philadelphia is a very strong Italian-American community. It's one of the ones where the people have remained more so than other places in their ancestral areas and in that area. So it's a pretty strong community today.
Let me ask you a question then. Do they did a lot of people remain in South Philly, or did they move out to suburbs?
Yeah, a lot of them moved to the suburbs. I mean, my family moved into the suburbs of Pennsylvania. A lot of them moved to South Jersey. But there were still a good number in Philadelphia. We still have some cousins that live in South Philly, and still a very heavily Italian American community.
So how did you like present this idea and to the people in the Philly area? Like, how did they take that? You know, oh my God, this is going to be a book about our town and our families.
I presented the book at the Philadelphia Museum of Italian Immigration. We had about 40 people there. It was a nice crowd. I think it's been pretty well received from everyone that's seen it. I mean, I obviously have a full-time job and I do this as a hobby, so I'm not out there promoting it. But I think through efforts like what you're doing and a few other things, it's getting out to other people, and I get requests trickling in for copies of the book.
Did you, there were a lot of like interviews.
Yeah.
Did you personally do some of the interviews for the people here, or was that your relatives in Italy?
It's a mix. It was a mix. Yeah. Some of them I got from, interviews that were done a while ago and put them in the appendix. Some of them Gennaro had done, and some of them were sort of put together just based on circumstances. And we tried to make it as real as possible, but it's a mix of all three.
Okay. I got to think that people must have loved it, especially, you know, the families that are mentioned in the book. I mean, that's you did all the work for them.
Well, I had a lot of help. I mean, there's probably 10 people on Ancestry.com that are in there every day adding names to the family trees from the village. As I mentioned, Gennaro and Giuseppe, I think Giuseppe's done upwards of 20 to 25 books. There's a very active cultural community association. All of the proceeds from this book will be donated to the Bickeries Cultural Association to fund more research. And when I presented the book with Giuseppe in the village back in August, and we had maybe 30 or 40 people, on a rain canceled night. So it was, it's been pretty well received, and it's been touching to me to have, you know, strangers come up and thank me for this and want to get me to sign their book or take a picture with them. I would have never imagined that that would result.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Question. How big a town is it? How many people actually live there now?
There's about 2,500. When I go there in August for the Festa San Donata, it swells to, maybe 4,000 or so when everybody comes back. I mean, it's like that in a lot of the villages in the South. People have homes there. They go work in the North somewhere or in Rome or Naples, whatever. And then they come back for the Ferragosta. And it's amazing to go there in August. And I brought my cousin Rich there this past summer. And it just... to see all these people that are your cousins coming literally from all over the world. They're coming from New York. They're coming from Canada. They're coming from Northern Italy. They're coming from Germany and Belgium and all the places where we know that our people went for this 1 week period. And when you go to the church for the Mass of San Donato, it's just a truly emotional experience.
And I believe Rich, that was his first time to Italy.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Because I believe he wrote an article about it that was in
he did.
The Italians.
Yeah. And he's sort of one of the reasons why I wrote that book. I wanted to basically have a roadmap for all of the vicaries to be able to go back, see your name in this book and say, hey, this could be my family, and look at it and say, hey, this is my village. Because I think, you know, I've heard you speak many times on the podcast about getting people back to Italy, and it truly is the single best thing we can do to preserve our culture over time. And that's why I wrote the book, is that the grandkids and the great grandkids would see this and want to go back.
Well, that's great that you think that way. Yes, I don't see any other thing that can compare to that trip to Italy. Yes. Yeah. A couple stories that were in the book I found very interesting. The Stetson Hat Company.
Yep.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the people from Vicary were very lucky that they had agents from Stetson going around. So if you recall, after the Civil War, there were hundreds of thousands of young dead, you know, in America, where we had basically what I call a labor shortage. And at the same time, you had the development of the light bulb, you had the development of this, you know, internal combustion engine, the development of steam, building railroads. So there was a shortage of men, a demand for labor from all these new technological innovations. So these companies were sending agents to Italy, where there was a excess supply of labor, because, as you know, the invasion from the north wrecked the economy in the south. These people had nothing to do. One of those agents came from Stetson Hats in Philadelphia, which was a very famous hat making company. They brought hundreds of people over from the Foggia, Capitanata area, mostly Vicary. And it was an amazing place to work. They had a hospital for the employees. They were giving them citizenship lessons. They were giving them English lessons. They gave them stock in the company. They had a theater where they were showing opera. It was just a model corporation for the time. And you could see why so many people left the village, including my great-grandfather. He came and worked at Stetson Hats and then eventually started his own hat business, where he manufactured Agnello Lucera hats and was a reseller for Stetson as well. So it was, you know, I can't thank Stetson Hats enough for providing, you know, the future that we have here.
And what happened? Now, I'm familiar with Stetson Hats. Is it still in business?
Barely. Yeah. I mean, people obviously don't wear those fedora hats anymore, but there is a market for the cowboy hats, which exists.
And still made there in Philadelphia?
Now, I don't know where they make them now, but that plant, I believe, was closed in the late 60s, early 70s.
And would up to that point of closing, was there still a large percentage of Italians, especially your people from your town working there?
Yeah, I only know the records up into the World War II draft cards, which lists the employment. And there were a large number of people that were still working at Stetson at that time.
Well, that sounded like a tremendous place. And I mean, going from a place where there was no work to going to this really well-run factory company and treating the people great. Yeah, it sounded awesome. You said that, I saw it in the book too, one of your relatives opened up a hat store.
Yeah, my great-grandfather, yeah.
Okay, your great-grandfather. And how did that, just curiosity, how did that business go for him?
Well, he died young. He died in 1930. But what I can tell you two things, right? The first is that I have a tremendous number of beautiful pictures of his kids, literally from when they were one or, you know, a few months old up until the day he died. So he must have had money for pictures. And then when he died, there is a very large obituary that was written in two of the Italian American papers. And I've probably tracked tens of thousands of people over the years, and I've never seen an obituary like that. I mean, most of the times there's barely anything. That it's not like today where there's obituaries all the time. It was very rare to have an obituary with a picture in there. So he must have been doing well, and he must have had a lot of people that liked what he did and liked him as a person.
Well, it was a very, from the picture, which is a beautiful picture, it was a very impressive store. I mean, and it wasn't, and it also said manufacturers. Yeah. So they weren't just selling hats, they were producing them. as yeah, well.
He was making them and reselling some of the Stetson hats.
Yeah.
If you blow up the pictures really closely, you can see some Stetson boxes. So,
is that right?
You see the Lucera boxes as well. So,
yeah, I think it said that they kind of worked a little bit in conjunction with them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And unfortunately, we were a hat society. that's no longer, unfortunately. Yeah. It was a nicer time. It was a classier time, and all men had hats, so it must have been a huge business. Yeah. Another story that really, really grabbed me was a gentleman named Tom Russo.
Yes.
And according to the book, he was born in Bicadi, 1883. And then he ends up coming here and was the founder of a bank in Philadelphia. And the analogy of George Bailey, the famous George Bailey from It's a Wonderful Life, was compared to. Tell me about him a little bit, Tom Russo.
He was the Italian George Bailey. And I found him through the work that Giuseppe was doing. So Giuseppe wrote a book called Il Solo Nome, not just names. And the story of the book was the monument in Piazza Matteotti to the World War I citizens of Bicari who had perished in the war. It was funded largely by Bicari's Italian Americans, in the 20s, who had come over here, made a lot of money. They, through the efforts of Tom Russo, Tom was the chairman of this. And so Giuseppe wrote this book. So he asked me about Tom Russo, and I went into newspapers.com and I found all these wonderful articles. And I'm like, this guy's the George Bailey of Bicari in Philadelphia. So he literally closed or kept the bank open and was giving people deposits on, word of mouth. And I can't imagine how many people benefited from
that. That's great. Is the statue, so the people here raised money and sent it there to build a statue of the Bicarese that were in World War One.
Yeah, all the names,
As American soldiers?
There was one American, my cousin Giovanni Battista Lucera had immigrated from Italy. Literally the moment he got off the boat, he got drafted into the war and he died at Musagon. And his name is on the monument. There's another Italian American born in Bicari, served in the American Army. I'm trying to get his name on the stone. They should have that on there. I've sent over all the documents. So
the statue's still in good shape and you've seen it.
Yeah, no, we saw it in August. It's a focal point of the city's architecture and marketing. And they expanded it, unfortunately, in World War II for, the names that were lost there.
And whatever happened with this Mr. Russo? So he was this big banker. Did it continue to his kids? I mean,
I don't think it continued after his kids. I mean, my research sort of stopped after 1930, which is when I don't know if you'd seen the pictures of all the people where they lived, but that was as of the 1930 census. And that's kind of when most of the records sort of stopped for me. I don't imagine he lived much longer than that.
And so, okay, going forward, is there going to be like a second volume, or you're pretty much, that's it?
I think that's it for this. Giuseppe has a number of books that I think would be interested in America. All of the books that he wrote about Bicari from 1870 to 1930, it might make sense to translate those and maybe update that, but that's, I have to talk to him about that. But that's been in the back of my mind as something that I might do. And he's done a lot of work on the brigands. And I think that's something that has gotten no coverage in America at all. And I'd like to find a way to kind of bring that story out. But
and what is that story exactly?
The story of the brigands that were fighting back against the Piemontes when the unification occurred. So that those battles went on for 10 years. It was really a civil war or a revolt. And it's really just coming to light now. And there's supposed to be a Netflix series coming out about it. A fellow named Giuseppe Schiavone, who was one of the famous brigands who basically was fighting the incursions of the Piemontes from the north.
Wow. Okay. Very interesting. And how many times now since that first time have you been back to Italy?
Oh, 8, 9, 10. I try to go back every year, every other year if I can. I mean,
you go that often.
Yeah. My view is that a lot of these villages are In real, some of the, well, Beakery is in very good shape right now. The mayor is doing a great job. You know, it's not always going to be like that. And for me, Gennaro Lucera just passed away in the fall. We also lost the guy that owns the hotel that I stay at all the time out there. He just passed away. And for me, I want to get out there and enjoy it as much as I can, in a way that I'd like to remember it. And maybe that's being a little, overly sentimental, but there's a lot of people that I've met over the years and, really love seeing them and want to get out there as much as I can while everyone's still there.
Yeah, no, that makes great sense. And that's very nice of you. And that's, we need more people like you, Eric, believe me. Where can someone get the book?
So because it was published in Italy under an Italian ISTN, you can get it on Amazon.it. If you have a regular Amazon account, you can sort of fiddle around with it and you can get it into your basket. It's a couple of steps. But if that doesn't work, you can reach out to me on LinkedIn or Facebook. And I have a box of them back there that I'll send to people if they want to see it.
So if you go on your Amazon, I can order this, but it's in Italy. So that next day delivery is probably not going to happen, correct?
Unless you sign up for Amazon Prime Italian, which I think I accidentally did. So.
Really? Okay. Okay. Well, no, that's good to know. And yes, you are on LinkedIn. You said on Facebook. If anybody has interest in Beakery, in Foggia and Puglia, or just any kind of genealogy, they can look you up.
Yep. Happy to help.
Well, that's great. Eric, thank you for the interview. Thank you for the book. It was a wonderful book. It's stories that need to be told and they need to live on. And you are a part of doing that. So my compliments to you.
And thank you for, doing this podcast series and inspiring people to keep going forward with these kind of projects.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Eric. Have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you.